Now, I have written an article on the origins of the universe, and I have called it Before the Beginning. So the title is for this article, Before the Beginning, and I just want to read some of the article which I have written. It's not all of it, but it's a summary, so to speak, of what I have written in much lengthier terms. The first thing that I just, and I wanted to note this just by way of really summarising all the material that I have written about this this theory. I believe that energy has never ever not been here. It has never ever not been around. I believe that energy is the only beingness that has always been there, that is there, and will always be there. I believe also that it evolved, and it evolved infinitely before time and space. That's the key to the information that I'm going to give you. Energy is infinite. Energy has always been in existence, is in existence, and will always be in existence, and it evolved in infinitely in non-time and non-space and non-dimension, and it could do it because it was metaphysical and it didn't need time and space or and therefore dimension. It didn't need any of them in which to be able to form a state in which it could evolve. It could evolve without time, space, and dimension, and I am saying it did. And it evolved infinitely before the Big Bang, before anything physical had ever manifested. I also believe that it was not always in a dense state. We talk about what was there before the beginning, and we talk about there was dense, non-time, non-space, non-dimension. I don't believe that energy was always in a dense state. I believe that in the metaphysical, because it's not physical, it could exist infinitely and in infinite states, and did in fact exist in infinite states, because it evolved in non-time and non-space, and it was not always dense. Why was it not always dense? Because it had, because I believe that it had infinitely evolved. I think it's very, very difficult to speak about an infinity in terms of, you know, I think in its initial stages. If it's infinite, it's very difficult to say that. But for want of a better way of explaining it, I can see it in my mind. It's as simple as seeing a circle. Not a circle as in a circle that you can see flat on a screen, so to speak, but a circle that is that has been sat down, so to speak. And therefore, it's an infinite metaphysical circle, and every time the energy moved 360 degrees within that circle, its state changed. So that a movement in the, it's like a movement in the air. When there's a movement, the quality of the air, the state of the air changes. Well, it was like that. And I believe it had done that infinitely. I believe that energy is infinite, and for want of a better phrase, in its most primeval and primitive state, in its infinite evolution, I believe that in its darkness, it was lighter than a feather. It was lighter than white. Lighter than the white of light. Why was it lighter than the white of light? Because in those, for want of a better phrase, in those infinite, in those initial and primitive stages of its evolution, it knew nothing about itself. Its evolution was what gave it its knowledge of itself. It's a little bit like a human experience, you know. If you don't have the experience, you don't know. If you have a human experience, then you remember it and record it and it becomes a part of you and you learn from it and move on. It's a little bit like that. In fact, it's exactly like that. We just mimic what it's already done. So I believe that energy is infinite, never not been here, is here, will always be here. And that before time, space and dimension, it evolved infinitely. And I believe that in its primitive stages of its initial, if you can say that, of its initial stages of its infinite evolution, its state was lighter than a feather because it was imperceptibly getting to know itself through its evolution. So it's a little bit like talking about a primitive culture. The more it evolves and sees the difference, the more comprehensive it becomes. It's like that. And because you can't, infinity hasn't got a number, it's very difficult to call or to talk about its, you know, primitive stages. But for want of a better turn of phrase, that's what I'm calling it. And I believe that in that darkness, in that state that I have spoken of, I think that its dark state was lighter than a feather. Okay, so what happened after that? Every time, if you can just imagine, and I know I'm talking about physical things, but I want you to imagine that happening in nothing physical. There's nothing physical there. It's simply energy, and it's turning over like a dynamo. And every time it rotates 360 degrees, the state of its energy changes. So imagine that in its most primitive form of infinite evolution, it is travelling in this circular motion. And every time it does, its energy state changes. Why? Why does it change? Well, when an energy, however light it is, moves through itself, so to speak, the energy state is changed, and when it does another rotation of 360 degrees, it becomes, the energy state has changed because instead of knowing, it's like in me, instead of knowing one thing, I now know three things. Why? Well, because I've had three experiences in my life of a particular state of being. So first time round, it's changed. Second time round, the energy state has changed again. Third time round, the energy state has changed again, and it's going around and around and around and within itself, in non-time, non-space, and non-dimension. As it does that, it becomes heavier. Why? Because it is accumulating. It is experiencing itself in different forms. It is recording, remembering and absorbing and therefore becoming the different states of being that it's experiencing. And it did that infinitely. With the completion of each circular motion, it grew denser because of its different experience of itself. Now, not only the important thing is here is that every time it turned, it remembered and recorded and absorbed everything. There was not one single particle, quark, anything. And these names that I'm talking about are what we gave the names to energy when it manifested in the physical. They were always there in that infinite experience. So I'm going to just call them facets of energy. It never, ever, ever forgot any facet of itself in its infinite experience of itself every time it completed that circular motion. Every state of being, every difference in the infinite process of evolution was recorded, remembered, absorbed, and therefore increased the density of the energy in its every turn. This infinite evolution was therefore an evolution of energy that never, ever, ever forgot any facet of itself and infinitely. And that is why what was happening, because of the way it was happening, it helps me to understand now what we call in the physical world, we say there are infinite states of being. Of course there are infinite states of being in the physical world, if there were infinite states of being in the metaphysical world. I rewound the tape one step back to before the beginning. I wanted to know what there was in what we call, or what was there before, you know, and we say, well, there was nothing. But I don't believe that it was nothing in the sense that we understand it. I believe there was a state of nothingness. That's different. That is a form of energy which doesn't need time and it doesn't need space and it doesn't need dimension in order to evolve, because it wasn't physical. And I believe it's been evolving infinitely, and in its primitive stages, so to speak, of its infinite evolution, it was lighter than the light of white. If I were to give you a very crude example of a parallel to that, I'm looking at my human life. If I were able to say to you, ever since I was a seed in my mother's womb, until now, I can remember everything. I have not forgotten one single particle of my life since I was a seed in my mother's womb. How much would you think I know? I've remembered everything. I've recorded, remembered, absorbed, and became a different state of being. I remembered, recorded, absorbed, and became another state of being. I did that always, and never, ever, ever, ever forgot anything about myself until now. And supposing I'm 90, how much would you say I know? A fair bit. Multiply that by infinity, that's what I'm talking about in the metaphysical, because it doesn't need time and space and dimension. It has never, ever, ever not evolved before time and space and dimension. That's the critical factor. It did it because it could, and it did it in the metaphysical because it didn't need anything physical like time and space or dimension. There was nothing dismissed, and there was nothing forgotten about its every different facet and experience of itself and infinitely. It remembered, recorded, and absorbed and became that experience, and did it and did it and did it again and again infinitely. I don't believe that it was a smooth process. I don't believe it just, you know, did it very like I'm describing it. I think along the way there were hiccups. I think that there could have been explosions, there could have been eruptions, there could have been collisions within the energy itself. It's within itself. It's not outside the energy. It's within the energy. So I believe that there could have been, and in all probability there was, that evolutionary process was not a smooth one. But the irony is that I think in the eruptions and there might have been hiatuses, you know, for what we would call billions of years, but for eons of years away, or eons of years in terms of time, in non-time, it stopped, you know. So there could have been eruptions, explosions, collisions, hiatuses, but they were all happening within the energy, and the critical factor was it was remembering and recording and absorbing and becoming those states of being. So it had infinite states of being, from being lighter than the white of light to the progressive density that it accumulated along the way as it understood, as it experienced its facet of itself. Every time it did a turn, a 360-degree turn, it became something else. And those eruptions, the very highly probable eruptions, collisions, call them whatever you want, were a way of its energy resolving what the information it had acquired up until that particular progression within its infinite evolution. So there was an accumulation of energy, a state of chaos, if you like, in the sense that that energy was simply being accumulated, and the eruptions were its way of resolving where those particles go, whatever they were, how they settle, and after the chaos came the order. And that was absorbed into energy as it kept evolving. Everything about it, everything that happened to it, was being recorded, remembered, absorbed, and became that status in its infinite evolution. So what was there? There was, in the accumulation of energy, and as it became denser, it became, the density within it was unimaginable. You can't imagine how dense it was. And along the way, in those eruptions that took place within it along the way, and the hiatuses and whatever, they were, in their resolution, what happened was that the energy in resolving through explosions, collisions, whatever, became lighter in the sense that it began to understand that to the degree that those eruptions happened and were resolved, it understood itself better, so to speak. It's like a human experience. You know, we fight, we argue, we have a very heated discussion, and then we sit down and talk and it's resolved. It's like that. And in its resolution, parts of its infinite self and its infinite density were becoming lighter. And I mean lighter literally, as in weight, and I mean lighter as in colour. It wasn't just dense darkness. There was a dense darkness in the infinite evolution, and progressively as it accumulated information and did what it did as I described. But within that density, there were facets of itself through the explosions and the resolution of them, so to speak, that the energy within it, facets of that density, were becoming lighter. Lighter as in weight, because of the resolution, and lighter as in colour. Colour is therefore mass. I'm putting it very simplistically now by explaining a diagram. I've got a visual of it, but I'm just going to explain it in this. If you imagine a dense dark ball, and out of that ball, if you can imagine arrows 360 degrees going out away from that dense dark ball, and every arrow is a different colour. And at its closest point to the density, it's at its darkest. So there's absolutely the darkest red you can imagine in one arrow. There's the darkest grey you can imagine in another arrow. There's all the colours around it, in their darkest form, they're coming out of the black and away from it, away from that. It's a circle, and the middle is that dense, dark energy which has got facets of itself that are lighter. That's what the arrows represent. Because the when the energy through its experience, infinite experience and evolution of itself and what it remembered, when it exploded and resolved itself, so to speak, within itself it became lighter. So you've got a ball that's dense, but inside it there are states of energy that are in infinitely different progressions, but they're in different states of being. They're in different colours. They're now becoming lighter. And I'm doing it very crudely by saying they just come out of that darkness and they become colour. They're going towards the light. Why? Because the infinite evolution and the information acquired and has been made sense of is a resolution, and that resolution made the energy form lighter, literally and in colour. And by making it so it's like a deep, deep, deep red, becoming a lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter, infinite shades of itself in lighter form until it hits the white of light. And that's all the colours it's represented around that circle. Now, they were in different states of evolution. Some energy that pulled away from the density did reach the white of light. Some didn't. Some stayed dark grey and some stayed, you know, a light orange, and some got to a beautiful lightest of lilac. And there were infinite states of itself evolving away from itself because of the resolution by way of the collision. First there's chaos, then there's order, then there's knowledge. It's a bit like that. So that density, that's the unimaginable density, unimaginable density, through the infinite accumulation of energy that went within it, and every result of every collision and hiatus along the way was within it. And its lighter parts started to move, to progressively evolve away from it, because they were not dense anymore. They weren't dense, they were coming lighter. And lighter as in weight, and that speaks to velocity. The lighter they became, the faster they could evolve. So the speed of the evolution became faster and faster as those colours became lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter shades of the infinite self, until they reach the white of light. So that's why you have infinite density right in the middle and infinite states of mass that is not as dense anymore in those colours that were gravitating and evolving into the white of light for the reasons I've already outlined. Some had reached the white of light, that didn't all expand and evolve in unison. That it was, the colours were expanding and evolving at different states and different progressions. So from the density in the centre to the white of light was every form of mass that you could imagine and not. It was densest at its middle. And then it progressively became light. So you have infinite shades and forms of mass. So out of the density that it had acquired when it blew came mass infinite shades of mass. And it had evolved it through the infinite evolution of acquiring information and doing what it did in the way I've described. Okay, so that tells me about mass in the physical world. And infinite mass at that. It also tells me about gravity. Because the densest part of the energy was its the dense accumulation of information. The more information it acquired of itself, the denser it became, until it made sense of it. That's when it got lighter. That's why the collisions along the way are important. They were its resolution and therefore created different facets of itself within itself. And started to that process, that infinite process of a pulling in and a pushing away from. The density those facets of itself that had evolved and became lighter in the way that I've described, both literally and metaphysically, in colour and in mass, they became lighter. They pulled away from the density. They pulled away from the density. The density, because of its state, it was so unbelievably dense, it pulled them back in again. And there was this tension that was, it was its literal, metaphysical breath of life. It was breathing in and breathing out. The density within was pulling that lighter energy, trying to get it back into itself. But the lighter energy was pulling away because it had become lighter in its form and in its colour and in its velocity and in its gravity and in its mass. They were all becoming lighter and in infinite form. There was a tension, therefore. There was sufficient infinite evolution away from the density in all and every shade of colour you can imagine until some of it had reached the white of light. The combination of all of that was sufficient to allow that energy that had progressed from the density because of its evolution to sustain that pulling away from the density. The density, in turn, because of its nature, tried to pull it in. And that tension applied and happened for immeasurable non-time, non-space, non-dimension. It happened and happened and happened and happened until the tension between the density and its infinite forms of evolution that were moving away from it became unsustainable. It could not sustain the tension, and that's when it blew. But the critical fact, there were two critical factors there, three actually. Firstly, energy evolved infinitely before time, space and dimension. It's the only thing that explains what I have known, what I see, what I've experienced in my life, and I'm not. It evolved before time. It didn't need time and space. It was in an infinite state of being that didn't need time and space. Or dimension, or colour, or anything. And at its most primitive level, it was lighter than the white of light, and evolved in the way that I have mentioned. So it evolved infinitely before, and it's still evolving, by the way. We'll come to that in a minute. before the Big Bang, before the beginning. Okay? So that's one thing. The second thing is that because it had evolved infinitely, there was not one thing about it itself that it didn't know. That explains to me infinite realities. They really, 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 truly are there. It also tells me that as it evolved and became heavier, in its accumulation of information, that density, it recorded everything, as I mentioned. It's every form of density and not. That recording was a blueprint. It formed an infinite blueprint of its every experience and facet of itself and infinitely. That's why it became dense. How dense would it be if I said to you there is a beingness out there that has never not been here, that is here and will always be here, and simply gathers information, and as it does, it becomes dense, and it's only in its resolution that it becomes light, or lighter. But it's still doing it. How well would you say that beingness knows itself? I mean, you know, if I said to you in that example of a human being who said to you, I remember everything since I was a seed in my mother's womb, so you'd be overwhelmed and you'd say, oh, they know everything. How much do they know? Well, multiply that by infinity's evolution. You'll get an idea of what that energy knew, that infinite energy knew before, that's the critical part, before there was any time, any space, any dimension, any colour, any anything. That's nothingness. That's what was happening in that nothingness, in the metaphysical, before the Big Bang. I referred to the colour and said, you know, as it became lighter, as it, you know, as a result of the collisions it resolved, it became lighter in both weight and colour. Colour is therefore an energy state, and it is a mass. It's got mass. You know, the dark colours are heavier in mass, in energy state, than the lighter colours. It is both an colour is both an energy state and representational of mass, or not, or its lightest state, depending on how dark it is and every shade of itself until it hits the white of light. So, my question is, okay, so how do you translate that into the physical? Well, to me, the critical factor, the most critical factor, the pivotal, the density, if you like, is its evolution. It wasn't doing nothing. It was doing something in that nothingness. It was evolving eternally and recording, remembering, experiencing, and of becoming that infinite state of being. That's how much it knows about itself. Now, when I say to you that, when I said to you that it had infinite states within itself because of its, you know, the eruptions that made it lighter, it's like seeing a black ball, but within that black ball is every single state of being you can absolutely imagine, and within it, I'm starting now to put different colours around its circumference, so to speak, just to make it simple. in their darkest state. And then they started coming out of it and pulling away from it. And some had gone 2 centimetres, so to speak, and some had, I'm just saying this so that we understand it as human beings. Some had gone 5, some had gone 2 kilometres, some had gone... The colours were in different infinite states of mass, as in weight, and not, and in colour, as in shades of itself. The lighter the mass and the lighter became the lighter the colour. And the lighter they became, the more velocity there was. They could move and evolve faster until they hit the speed of light. So it's telling me that out of that energy evolved infinitely in the way I've said, that it recorded and remembered and became the way the states, its infinite states of being in the way I said, that it formed a blueprint because of this eternal memory. It has been never forgot a thing. Not a thing. Not a quark. It formed a blueprint. What's a blueprint? It is an enablement record. It is saying, this is all I have been through. Look at my infinite possibilities. Those possibilities that had been, that came in the form of collisions and were resolved, that was its resolution, and that's what led to its enlightenment, so to speak, both literally and metaphysically. Enlightenment, as in lack of light, a lack of mass, an enlightenment as in it hit the white of light. Some of it hit the white of light. And it had come through an infinite process of evolution out of the seeming absence of time, space, dimension, colour, gravity, anything. They were not there. They evolved into it, and a blueprint kept the record. In non-time, non-space and non-dimension. That's what was happening before the Big Bang. So it was a record of... Look, if I say to you, you've only had one experience, you don't have many options. And you say, no, I've had 5 experiences. And I say, okay, well then, square them, that's the number of possibilities you've got. You know, multiply them by each other. Keep changing one. Just keep changing one out of those 5 and then mixing it with the other 4 and see how many options you've got. A lot. Well, the blueprint had all of those experiences recorded infinitely of itself in the most unimaginable. Because it was in non-time and non-space, to say it was a grain of sand is to say it was huge. It was untouchable, unseeable, and as dense as I've described. And you say to me, oh, don't be silly, how can you do that? Well, let me tell you. When you have a problem, no, you've got 3 problems, and they all happened, you know, fairly close to each other. How do you feel? You feel as if you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. You feel heavy. And if I said to you, touch that heaviness, could you do it? No, but you feel it. That's the kind of density I'm talking about. You can't see it, you can't touch it, but you can feel it. Through the experience of having had 3 problems in a very close period of time. Well, that's what happened to energy in the metaphysical. It experienced every facet of itself. And let me tell you, if we have difficulty in our lifetimes, it has already had those difficulties in the metaphysical and resolved them. And that's why I can look you in the face and say, energy's got every answer to everything. Do you want to look? Because it has. The only beingness I know wherein the facet became the whole is in the eternal continuum of energy. Why? Because it infinitely evolved, recorded and remembered it, and it could do it because it wasn't physical. That's why. How well would you say it knows itself? Well, if it's an accident, to me it is the most sublime accident I will ever want to have the privilege of experiencing. There are no accidents. No accidents at all. None. It was a perfectly sublime, rageful, explosive, hiatuses all along the way, kind of beautiful, until it reached its resolution of itself in those explosions along the way. So, it is, you know what gets to me is its profound simplicity. All I'm doing is rewinding my life backwards till I got to the metaphysical and said, can you translate your life into the metaphysical? Because what we're doing is not a dress rehearsal. It's a repeat performance. Everything we have done in evolutional terms and discoveries and thoughts and anything, no matter how smart we think we are in our physical form, if I were just to pay attention to my body and not what's in it, I'm nothing. What's in it is everything in my mind. Everything. Because that is where all evolution of all my ancestors, I just rewound my life. I said, look over your shoulder, girl. I looked over my shoulder and I said, heavens above, how many people did it take to bring about the fact of me? There's mum and dad and there, and on both sides their parents, and on both sides their parents, and on both sides their parents. I was gobsmacked. I said, my goodness. And all the lives of all those people, when they died, through genetic inheritance, has been left in the form of energy in my mind. And I said, no, I'm not satisfied with that. I want to take it back further. You know, to the apes and the fish and the tiny little, wee little, indescribably small particles in the ocean through our evolution. Anyone who doesn't believe in evolution, don't worry about it. It's fine. I respect what you think. This is my take. This is my perspective. This is my experience. That's all. That's all. But I revere and respect with all my heart and soul anyone who says to me, that's a load of rubbish. That's fine. I can live with that. I don't happen to believe it's a load of rubbish, but if it is, throw it in the rubbish bin. It's fine. Truly. I just happen to be one of those creatures who believes in evolution. It's not a big deal. But for those who don't, that's fine too. Don't have a problem with that. So I took it back before and I said, what happened when there was a total absence of physicality in any form? It was just blank. What happened? And I said, you know, this nothing we talk about is not nothing in the sense that we understand it. It is nothingness. It's a state of being of energy. Well, if it was a state of being of energy, and in our physical world we evolved, it must have evolved in the metaphysical state. It was simple. It was so simple, I nearly fell off my chair. I said, this energy's never not been here. It's an eternal continuum. It's just, and that's why it is, to me, it is divine. Because it is everything, literally and in every way. It recognizes itself in every form. And that's why, to me, don't care what your race is, don't care what your color is, don't care what your creed is, it's all fine. They're different facets of one thing. And it also told me, therefore, that the most natural state of things is difference. I do not believe in opposites. And I know that people who are far more learned than I am will say,
She's off the wall. I can live with that too, but I'm going to tell you why I don't believe in opposites. I invert everything and I reverse everything. If I said to you there's black and white, you know, there's a circle, I've cut it in the middle, and it's black on one side and white on the other, an ordinary average person would say to me, yes, black and white, as opposite as you'll get. Wrong. Why? What I did was in my mind's eye, and I was at the circumference, at the periphery of that circle. One person was on one side of the on the black, on the periphery of the black, and another person, I imagined myself, on the periphery of the white. And I said, what would happen if I'm on the periphery of the black, and I'm doing this as an allegorical or metaphorical state, and in truth, a metaphysical state of what happens in a human life, it's getting lighter and lighter. Why? Because of my life experiences. I'm learning as I'm going through, and I'm representing that evolution. The dark, the black becomes less black, light black, grey, lighter grey, light, until it reaches a cream, and then it gets, when it gets to the middle, it is white. And I did the same for the other one. I'm on the periphery of the white, and I made it darker and darker and darker and darker, representing a, you know, humanity's evolution, until it became black. So the white had become black and the black had become white through the process of evolution, and that's why I don't believe in opposites. I don't believe in spontaneity. It took an infinity, an eternity to create, you know, what we call, say, spontaneous combustion. It took an infinity of evolution to get to that. It's like saying I became an overnight sensation after 40 years of hard work. It's a little bit like that. The 40 years hard work came first. Then it looked like it was immediate. So that's my take. I believe in them, I'm standing up for them, and I'm going to say them. There could be a whole lot of rubbish and nonsense, and that's fine. I'll wear it, but I'm saying it. Because every molecule in me is saying yes. And when what's in... forget my ego, it's not about my ego, nothing to do with my... No, a fair bit about my ego to know that it knows its place in the scheme of things. It's not about that. It's about something that you can't even compare. To compare my ego to whatever it is that I'm seeing is really almost, unholy. It's not about that. It's got nothing to do with that. What it's got to do with is this state of energy that is within my being that is saying to me, Yvonne, open your mouth and say this, because I've got something to say. And that's the only reason I'm saying it. I'm not saying it for me. I, in the scheme of things, am a person, a finite, and I'm going to cast it, and I'm going to die, and they're going to bury me. It's not about me, thankfully. It's not about me. It's about the energy within me, my experiences through my life, my acknowledgement of my every experience in life, my recording, remembering and learning the lesson and acknowledging the unconscious, subconscious, the creative side of the mind, the logic, and then bringing them, merging them and bringing them all into my consciousness. That's what got me to here. That's what got me to here. I am just mimicking what's already been done. Every single future, any physical future in this physical world has already happened. In the blueprint that is in that density, the most dense part of it that still had every record and remembered everything within it, everything that was happening to it is in that density. It's like that. So if I remember, it's memory, connection, order, recording, absorbing, and it happened before anything physical, before the Big Bang. So,
I have always loved science with all my heart and soul. I'm a lay person. I'm a lawyer. I'm a law lecturer, actually. I have been a lawyer. And I also paint and write. I have visuals and logic. And I acknowledge the unconscious and the subconscious. In my human experience, all I did was say, Yvonne, the more you acknowledge, the more you saw. The broader your perspective. And the more options that came to you. So if I'm saying to you, my mind, my brain within which my mind is housed, that's the energy within my mind, within my brain, that's the difference to me between the brain and the mind. The energy is the mind that is housed within what we call the physical brain. If I figure it's not there for decoration, it's there for use, I want to use as much of it as I can before I die. And therefore, it's a funny thing. In my life, I've always said to my friends, it's and everything. Everything is it's and. It's not all, it's and. It could be all in afterwards, but at first it's and. It's and. And I smiled to myself when I stumbled across this and said, my goodness, it is and. It never forgot a thing. It never, ever forgot one facet of it. And everything that we call now quarks, eons, protons, neutrons, they were in the blueprint. Everything was in the blueprint. And I can tell you, as crazy as it might sound, and it doesn't matter, I'm at a stage in my life where you need to say what you need to say and believe in it. Because I'm not here for a popularity vote. I'm not doing it for that. I'm simply doing what I saw within me and said, look, you really do need to put this down, whatever anybody thinks about it. Ever, ever, ever. So, however silly it might sound, and if it's a load of rubbish, just put it in the garbage and dismiss it. Dismiss it. It's not relevant. You know, it is what you think it is, and that's fine. And that is why I can accept that, because there are infinite states of being. If it's good enough for my maker to have infinite states of being, it's good enough for me. Now, this will really, you know, say she's off the wall. That's fine. I'm old enough to wear it. If I looked at the, you know, world, this cosmos, this universe that is so beyond description, sublimely balanced. And I said to myself, I can see how out of that blueprint all of this could come, because it had infinite options. It arranged its energy in such a way that when it blew, it formed this. And in the blueprint, because it had infinite options, came the oceans, the sand, the infinite variety of flora and fauna, and all attendant evolution to all of them, human beings, animals, anything. They were in the blueprint before it blew. Everything, and all our future evolution is already in its blueprint. It's already happened. That's why everything, the physical world, is a repeat performance in the sense that it's aping the options of what had already existed in the blueprint before time, space and dimension and colour and all of that. So, infinite evolution, recording, remembering and absorbing, and everything else the way I had described, gave me a density within which, as a result of what occurred along the way, created its lighter states of being, which started to pull away from the mass
the dense, the really dense part of the mass that it, in which all information about all its infinite evolution lay, and you couldn't even touch it, that's how small it was, and in which there was no time, no space, and no dimension. That's critical. I want to talk to you about Einstein's theory of relativity later, because I believe I'm a lay person. I'm not a scientist. I don't want to be a scientist. I love science more, I think more than anything, as much as I love my painting and writing. It's the closest thing I know to spirituality. Science and spirituality go together. And it was on my delving into spirituality, ironically enough, because of my life's experiences, that I stumbled on this, on what I'm saying. And I've been doing this for about 30 years. I've had probably more in the sense that I have had an innate love of science ever since I can remember. I have just loved it. It's like breathing to me. But I'm just a lay person. I was just very interested in it. It just fascinated me. Absolutely fascinated me. And always will. Always. Always. So out of, you see, this is the curiosity. This is it leads you to experience. And experience leads you to a perception, and perception leads you to a realization, and the realization leads you to a belief, and a belief leads you to a knowledge. Energy's been through every state, every thought, every blink of an eyelid, everything about everyone and everything before the Big Bang, in non-time, non-space and non-dimension. I want to talk to you about two things that now make sense to me. Einstein's theory of relativity and black holes and the point of singularity. Einstein's theory is, and again, I'm only explaining Einstein's theory of relativity in a layman's perspective. I probably don't know a blink of an eyelid about Einstein's theory of relativity, and I absolutely accept that. But what I do understand about it seems to make sense to me in the context of what I am saying. As far as I understand, E equals mc squared is that the energy equals the mass. Energy and mass are the same. Well, that makes absolute sense to me in the context of what I have said. Energy does equal mass, absolutely. In fact, you know, the darkness in its evolutional states, in its primitive evolutional infinite state, so to speak, was lighter than a feather, and from there went to that density and everything in between. Yeah, I get it. There are infinite states of mass, and therefore the type of energy is, and is represented by, the mass, the kind of mass you've got, how light it is, how heavy it is, how whatever it is, and times it squared, the velocity, times the velocity squared. It fits in with what I saw in my mind. If there were infinite if energy A evolved, and it evolved infinitely and never forgot a facet of itself, ever, recorded, remembered, and absorbed it and became it, and in its infinite acquiring or acquisition of information, it became dense, and to the extent that it understood itself by way of these collisions and explosions, it became lighter and started to pull away from it, and between the density of darkness and the white of light was every shade of colour and therefore every shade of mass. That explains the equation. Energy is explained by the density of the mass, and that in turn, if you square the velocity, the lighter it became, the faster it became. The darker it was, the heavier it was. Now, okay, so to me, E equals mc squared,
absolutely fine with me, just a layperson in my, just using my common sense. I'm not using maths and I'm not using physics and I'm not using anything, because I'm none of those things. I'm just using my, what I call my spherical thinking. I think in spheres. There's nowhere to hide in a sphere. And I call it spherical because I acknowledge everything that's, whatever is in my unconscious, whatever's in my subconscious, whatever is in the right side of my mind and whatever is in the left side. And I merge them and bring them together into my consciousness. And if they all say yes, I believe them. And I say, you've just stumbled on a universal truth. It's always been there. You've just got a piece of it. You just opened the curtains a bit and said, ah, there it is. It's always been there. I didn't discover anything. We never discover anything. What we do is we access what is already there by using our mind. And that's all I've done. And I've only, and it could be, as I've said, a whole lot of rubbish and I don't care. I'm saying it because I believe in it and I'll stand up for it. It just makes, when my circular thinking makes sense, I believe it. And my spherical thinking makes sense, I believe it. Because it's not about me. It's about what I'm seeing in me. And if that is saying to me, look, Yvonne, that's true, I believe it. I believe it and the concept. But I believe in energy and I believe the concept. It's not about me, thankfully. Thank God it's not about me. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got to do with how the molecules and everything are arranged in my mind. I just access them, that's all. So, E equals MC squared, to me, is the closest I will ever see. There are no absolutes, but it's the closest I will ever see to completeness. Why? I can't remember. I think I saw a program or read or something. I think it was a program where, and I can't even remember the name. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I saw a program that was talking about Einstein's theory of relativity, and this is why I'm saying to you, this is not about me. It is not. It's not about my ego and it's not about anything. It's about what I'm seeing. And as I speak to you, it could be a whole lot of nonsense. What I saw was, I think it was some program that was talking about some way in which Einstein's theory of relativity falls down mathematically. And it was talking about mass and the distance of the mass from the black hole. And it had to be a program because I remember it. And in this program, it said if 1 over r is 1 over 0, that will equal infinity, and that is where Einstein's theory of relativity breaks down. And I thought that's, to me as a lay person who doesn't know anything about anything except common sense, I thought it does equal infinity. Because if what I have thought and seen in my mind has some sense of veracity to it, then it makes every sense in the world that not only does E equals MC squared, but that theory directly relates to the energy within a black hole and the point of singularity. Of course, what firstly, what had happened is that the mass has translated in the physical world, the density in the metaphysical that I have described before, when it blew, it translated into infinite types of mass. And that's where E equals mass, E equals M, is so far to me, makes sense. And then you times it by the velocity squared. So E equals MC squared makes common sense to me. And the curving of the of space, because of the density of the mass and its size, that's all proportional, and it just makes sense. So gravity, there's infinite types of mass and therefore infinite types of gravity. So out of non-time, non-space and non-dimension, and non-colour and non-everything, came infinite mass, infinite gravity, infinite space, infinite colour, infinite everything, out of its seeming non-absence, through eternal evolution, and before the Big Bang. In the process, in the way and in the method that I've described. So Einstein's theory of relativity makes sense to me. And the reason I say if you have 1 over r equaling 1 over 0 equaling infinity and that breaks down, and I don't believe it does, is because the reason why the black hole and the point of singularity are the closest we will ever get to the origins is because they are the origins. They are the physical manifestation of what happened in energy's evolution in its metaphysical state and before the Big Bang in non-time, non-space and non-dimension. And that's why you're in a black hole, you'll never get out of there, ever. It'll just suck you in. Why? Well, because if you reverse what I was talking about before, reverse it, and make it cone-like, that density that's in that circle, pull it out and against itself, so to speak, so that it's like a cone. The point of singularity is its narrowest. And it goes wider and wider and wider and wider and wider, representing the infinite mass that went away from it. So the infinite mass and its different states as it grew lighter, as it was, you know, heading towards the Big Bang, this is the reverse of it. The black hole is about the infinite E equals mass, the infinite states of mass before the Big Bang. Except now we're not heading away from the density, but to it. To the density. What density? The density that was still there when it blew, and it had recorded, it had the blueprint for everything that had ever happened to it. That's what density. And you can't touch it and you can't feel it. And there is no time there ever. It was done in non-time and non-space. That's why when you get to the point of singularity, you really are getting to the density of energy with its infinite blueprint because of its infinite evolution, which happened in the metaphysical and before the Big Bang. Now it makes sense to me. Because once you fall in that hole, its infinite mass is getting denser as you get down towards that point of singularity. It is just unbelievable density. It's got everything in it, every facet of its experience in it, and you can't touch it. That's why time stops. That's why there's no space, and that's why there's no dimension. Because it happened in those circumstances of non-time, non-space, and non-dimension. And therefore, 1 over r equals 1 over a 0 equals infinity. We're back home. We're back home. We're back home to what had happened before it blew. It's all already there. All of it. Wow. Wow. Wow to me. I mean, you know, to me it's wow. To me, it answers a lot of things. Everything. It's not that I don't have any questions about anything. I've got questions about billions of things. But it gives me some semblance of understanding about how it might have originated. And I think that's how it originated. The simplest, the most profound things I have ever seen or ever come to know or ever experienced are usually the simplest thing in the world that's been done. If you said to me, Yvonne, everything you've just said, one sentence, how would you summarize it? I'd say it's been done before. In the metaphysical. Because it didn't need time, space, and dimension because it was metaphysical. And it did it infinitely. That's it. In a nutshell. So all futures, if we were to blow this up to smithereens, the cosmos, the universe, everything, it would become something else. It will always become something else. And that's why when you get to the point of singularity, and one scientist said, we don't know what's going to come out of it once it gets into the point of singularity. That's absolutely true. Why? Because it goes back to its infinity. That's why into the infinite blueprint of the density that was there in the metaphysical before time, space and dimension. Of course you don't know what's going to come out of there. You'll never know what's going to come out of there because it's infinite. There is infinity. It's still there. The point of singularity and the black hole are the closest we will ever come in, you know, physical terms, so to speak, because we can't see them. In our physical world is a better way to say it, to the origins of everything. The black holes and the point of singularity are like reversing a cone shape. It's a cone and it's widest at its on the right side of the page, and it becomes narrowest at the left side of the page. Invert it. Invert it. Turn it the other way. Where the point of singularity is now where it was at its widest. It's now on the right side of the page. That's all that happened. That's all that happened. Before the Big Bang, the density, let's say, was its narrowest. And it went wider and wider and wider as it became lighter. Reverse it. Now, the widest part of it is its darkness. Reverse it. Invert it. The darkness is now, the emphasis is now on its density. It's on that point of singularity. The point of singularity is the density that has every single piece of information in it about its infinite evolution in non-time, non-space and non-dimension. Time stops. There's no space and there's no dimension. That makes sense to me, because that's what happened in the metaphysical world when it was infinitely evolving and recording and remembering everything. So, if you, I was trying to give you an example of what it might look like in my mind. It's like the point of singularity is the narrowest point, and then it goes out like a cone. That's it. And then if you invert that, you will see that the density is at the top. And the lightness is away from it. It's just the reverse of itself. So,
What I came to understand is that it's all been done before, and done before time and space. Now I understand that, you know, the theory of quantum gravity uses a formula that, you know, gives them a headache in the same way as, you know, the 1 over R and the 1 over O. I think they're both the same. I think quantum gravity and I think 1 over R equals 1 over O equals infinity. They're both correct because they both do equal infinity. And to say there is no infinity is, for me, an impossibility. If there is anything true, it's infinity. It's infinity. It just took a different form. We're looking at physical things, and even non-physical things in a physical world. I looked at non-physical things in a non-physical world. That's how I believe it. I don't have a problem with infinity at all. I don't have a problem with the concept of a state of beingness that was never ever not there, is there, will always be there, remembered and recorded, etc. And there's one other thing I wanted to say about the When is Blue. When is Blue, and I've said to you that, you know, there was density in the middle with that infinite blueprint, and that was the enabler. That's what I call the blueprint, the enabler. The giver of all infinite options in infinite evolution. That really doesn't have a number. But when it blew in the way that I have described, it wasn't because it had reached the optimum level of itself, which was in the white of light. It blew because the tension, it was in such a state that the tension within it could no longer be sustained, and that's why it blew. What is it telling me? Critically, it is telling me that energy can travel faster than the speed of light. That's what it tells me. It's not that white, you can't go past white. You can go past white. It's just that at the time it blew, it hadn't. The blueprint had something else. What? I believe the blueprint had that in its those primitive stages, for want of a better word, those primitive stages of its infinite evolution, its darkness was lighter than a feather. Not its white. It was lighter than a feather. Because in its infinite evolution, if you can, so to speak, it's a little bit like, it's a very crude analogy, very crude, but because we're physical, I have to say it in physical terms. It's a little bit like having had no experience at all, and then having had an experience, and then having had two, and then having had three. And when it's equivalent of, in its infinite stages of evolution, it hadn't had much, it was just a continue, it was lighter than a feather because it hadn't had experience of itself in its progression. It took infinite progression to have an experience of itself. And then another, and then another, and then another. So I believe that energy can travel faster than the speed of light because of the state that it was in its metaphysical form before time, space and dimension. In its dark, primitive levels, it was lighter than the white of light. And the white of light was not the optimum that energy could travel at. It was just that in addition to all the other states of gravity around it, and then the density that was within it, all of those states produced an unsustainable tension. And that's why it blew. Not because the white of light had said this is the optimum you can reach, but because all those states of being together produced the state whereby the tension could not be sustained anymore, and it blew. So So I believe that energy can travel faster than the speed of light. And that is in the blueprint, which is called the point of singularity. It is the density that remained within the energy when it blew, and in that density, the densest part of it, the densest, everything had been recorded and remembered and absorbed in there. It was the enabler. It said, these are the possibilities. Experience them all. I'm recording them. I'm remembering. I am sustaining them. They're in here. And that's why it makes total sense that when you get to the point of singularity, time stops. There's no space. There's no dimension. It makes sense. Because there wasn't any of those things in the metaphysical when it was infinitely evolving and before the Big Bang and before time and before the physical world. I'm going to stop there. I may need to do a second part to it, but I'm going to stop there, and I am going to continue with this later, but that's as far as I want to do today.